Item 10, is this Henry or you? Henry, you have the stage.
Good morning, everyone. Happy holidays. I know everybody's really excited to hear a budget summary following a good presentation. What I have for you, I'm really pleased to present the 2018 CICERA operating budget. As we have been advising everybody, we continuously strive toward the best efficient and operating administration of the plan. Safeguard plan assets, we spend our IT expenditures to make sure that everything is safeguarded. We always strive to take a look at the customer service expense. In doing that, the creation of the budget was meeting with all department managers and really taking a hard look. And I'm really pleased that everybody thought about their expenses and their estimates very well and where the needs were. So having said that, the overall budget is relatively flat in comparison to 2018. It's increasing approximately $80,000 from last year to this year. If I turn your attention over to page 9, please, in the document, down at the very bottom, it gives you the grand total figures. The format of the budget itself is a little bit different. I included some additional information from last year. I put a column for the actuals through November 30th. The reason I did that is because I think it's helpful to see how we're doing with the current year, how we're wrapping up, and we use that as a basis to estimate the 2018 numbers. So you might see some more columns along the row, but I can walk you through them because I think it's very helpful information. But down at the very bottom, you see last year's budget, 13,427, the first column. And the grade, the grade column, 13,508. It's an increase of $80,300, relatively flat. Now, there's increases and decreases, so it's mixed. The increases have to do with training and education. We believe that's very important. We have some new positions that we fill, the deputy CEO. We have some investment officers, people that are coming on board. We have some vacancies that are being filled, and the training and making sure staff is up to date with the best procedures. So we have some money in the training and education budget. We have an increase in our professional audit and legal. The audit for the ICON consult is underway, so there's an increase for that. There's also an increase in investment legal, where you need some anticipated increases there. There's increases in our office expenses. We have printing and postage, 1099 tax statements, the information out to our member benefits. We have about an $88,000 increase in our IT systems. Mr. Liu will be speaking to you about our cybersecurity and a lot of the production and hardware that's being purchased there. So those IT assets become capital assets, so that increases depreciation. The decrease, these are all increases. The decrease has to do with our investment officer positions. We are looking hard trying to fill those, but we staggered them throughout the year. So we kind of estimated some costs, and so they are lower from the budget because they start about in the middle of the year throughout the stage. So when we add all up, that's where our budget is. It's about an $80,000 increase. Now, inside of that, if I turn your attention, it's made up of administrative and non-administrative expenses. As you know, the administrative expenses are capped by a CERL limit of 21 basis points. That 21 basis points, when you compare it to the most recent actuarial accrued liability report of $8.8 billion, it gives us a CERL limit of $18.5 million. This budget here of 13.5 is only 11.5% of the basis points. So we're well under the cap limit for that. So that's important to note. Over on page 13 of the document, that's the grand total of the administrative budget, the one that is subject to the cap limits. That budget is increasing $160,000 in 2018 over 2017. The majority of that is our IT system expenditures, server, switches, hardware, the IT systems is going. And the remainder is training and education, as we mentioned earlier. So that's the big items that's making up that increase there. Any questions so far? Everything good? Yes, sir.
Yes. One, overall, I certainly like it. I like what you put together. My basic question is, we show 11 months actual, and then we show budget remaining. One of the things we could have done instead of that, or maybe in addition to that, is show projected 12 months. Just in terms of what I'm used to looking at, in terms of overview of budgets, last year's budget is important, but actual is important. And obviously, if we're showing an annual budget, the budget is not 11 months, 1 month, et cetera. I'd like them closer to being apples and apples. And where that jumps out, the actual total salary, just on page 7, if you drop down to total salaries and benefits, you can see that we've got $2.5 million of last year's budget that we haven't spent and 1 month to go. I'm guessing that our actual obviously might be in the $2 million range, lower than this year's budget. And that kind of differential is one that, from an oversight point of view, would cause you to say, describe where that additional $2 million over what we spent this year is going. So, from a just structural point of view, that would have been my preference. But you might discuss those kinds of differences where, as opposed to budget, reasonable actual to budget.
Would you want an additional column or replacing the year-to-date?
I don't know that I'd want more columns. My rather than 1130 projected. It might be the column.
So it's like through 11:30 actual plus the estimate for December.
Exactly.
Because actually when we went through this, I did that, I kept finding myself doing that calculation. So, yeah, it's a good point.
But it's better than it used to be, which was the half-year look, right? We went from doing the half-year to the November, which I appreciated too.
Well, yeah.
Because that was trying to get at that issue, but you made a good point. You might as well project to the end of the year or so.
On a related question, I don't know if it gets into the same conversation, but I think it does. It shows 21% budget remaining. To what extent, I assume you have an accrual period.
Absolutely.
During January.
Absolutely.
And you'll be accruing some December expenses and November expenses. So to what extent, roughly, would that bring down that 21% favorable?
There's a delay that occurs. It goes into February. There's sometimes, and even in early March, we're looking at some consultant expenses that come through, and we try and accrue expenditures. That'll drop that at least by half. At least by half.
But you don't wait to close your books until March. I mean, you close them
absolutely
end of January.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Well, it's a 60-day period, and government is a traditional 60-day period through February to allow time for expenditures to come through, because some expenditures, we have some consultant bills, some attorney bills, are still wrapping things up, and so we solicit all the expenditures that we want to pick up. But yes, you have an audit deadline you have to get going on, so you have to move forward. So we do a materiality look. If it's really small, or we'll do an estimate. Certainly with the investment manager fees, we have to pick those up, and they have been taking a little bit long, so we're encouraging everybody to move fast.
But the bottom line is you've got roughly half of that is going to disappear as
Absolutely.
A result of accrual.
Absolutely.
So it's not misleading. I don't mean that. It's just you wouldn't want to jump to a conclusion that we're 21% favorable to the annual budget, because there's a lot more coming in.
You bet.
Okay.
You bet.
Thank you.
Now, this is excellent feedback, because this is what we wanted to hear as we started giving the expense updates. We use this percentage and this is, I think, what we were triggering, is the percentage is the fuel tank remaining, if you will. This is how much you have left. You make an inference, well, you have 1 month left. When we look at mid-year, it's easy to say we have 50% left. When we look at September, three quarters left. So we're trying to look for a good medium that is helpful and meaningful to the board when we have these quarterly updates. So one of the things that could answer is our budget for 2017 assumed that we were going to be fully staffed beginning January 1 on some. We were pretty ambitious on our recruitment. We were going to fill them, and some of those vacancies didn't materialize, and that's probably what's leading to some of this big savings. And so we wanted to avoid that distortion and try and come up with a budget that was a little more meaningful, more better estimated. But this is good feedback for our updates to make sure our updates make more sense and more meaningful to the board.
Long time ago, that came up before, if there was a way to note like what would still be owed. I'm not sure if you call it a accounts, a payable, receivable sort of a thing. That something like this came up a long time ago. Does it ring a bell at all, what you're asking?
It's not so much that. What I'm concerned about is having somebody come in and take a look at the budget and the expenditures and draw an erroneous conclusion.
Right, and
it that
like
somehow
we
it's, we've got a 21% pad in the budget, which is would be misleading.
Something that I can't remember if it was the line or something we say, or, I don't know, like again, counts payable or something. Something where it's flagging that there's some money we know we're going to be spending.
That's the accruals.
Mm-hmm. That's right. The accruals where we go through the expenditures, as Jerry mentioned, and when the bill comes in, the accounts payable team takes a look at it and says, is this last year expenses when they were incurred, or if it's equipment that was bought and received, we examine it. And if it's last year's, we pick it up into the year that's getting audited. If it's next year's, we separate it and we charge the next year's budget, you know, the 2018 budget. So we go through that process.
Yep.
And we give it 60 days, you know, to examine. So, but with all, what I also wanted to do is make sure that the budget that we're bringing in front of you is a good estimate. It's not padded just to create a pad to make
right.
it look like, oh, we are well under budget.
Right.
But, you know, we want to do good estimates. And so we're very pleased that we put together nice, good numbers. And I'm liking the feedback that we're getting because that's exactly the feedback that we wanted to elicit.
I wanted to make a comment on the OPEB expense. This is a similar expense that we've had in past years, and we will be coming to the board at the January 10th meeting. We'll have Milliman here to review OPEB funding options. But I wanted to mention that what's included has been the pay-as-you-go and the additional liability adjustment that's made every year. There hasn't been additional monies placed in there for pre-funding or anything like that.
Okay.
But that will be coming back shortly. We wanted to try and have that prior to the budget, but the Milliman representative wasn't available. So
Henry, correct me if I'm mischaracterizing what you said. It sounded like you said in the 17 budget that the salaries assumed that all vacancies would be filled by January 1st.
Mm-hmm.
In this current budget, have we staggered it so if we know that a position just became available and recruitment's going to take X amount of time, that salary is prorated, or does it assume that all vacancies are filled again on January 1st?
No, it's the prorated.
Okay.
It's a staggered. If we have a position, the recruitment is now, but we estimate that it's going to be on board in June, so we only pick up half a year expense.
Okay.
Because otherwise we'd be creating that pad that we probably did last year, but we're correcting that now.
And further on that, do you use any sort of salary vacancy for any unplanned vacancy? I mean, you know, turnover has been greatly reduced, but, you know, there's still going to be people who retire and or, you know, leave for various reasons. Do we put in, like, a certain percentage to knock down the overall salaries to reflect that reality? Or do you just assume everyone's going to be here?
We don't have that.
We didn't build that in. You know, we have a small group, but we didn't build that in. What we did is we took a hard look as the best guess when the vacancies that are known when they plan to be filled, and we estimated expenses. if we did do an estimate, for example, if folks want to take advantage of vacation buyback or something, we did a percentage of that because we wanted to cover all bases. Awesome.
But it's basically conservative to do what you did as contrasted to some kind of a factor for terminations and open period. I'd absolutely support.
I'm familiar with a vacancy factor being applied because you're never going to be able to assume, I'm sure that I'm not telling you something you don't already know, you're not going to be able to assume full complement for 12 months of the year. That's it. You can't do that.
Where it's going to show up is in our regular frequent updates. We will bring to you and say, this estimate was based with these assumptions, but we found halfway through the year that this happened, and that'll accommodate. And so as we learn more, this is a learning process, so that's the information that we want to bring in front of the board, rather than doing once a year, once every 6 months like we were doing before, frequent updates. Okay, so that was on the non-administrative. I'm going to move over to page 17, the non-administrative budget. These are the expenses that are not subject to the supplement. The expenses that fall in the non-administrative is our investment department, our legal department, and our disaster recovery program. We also include in that non-administrative budget any legal that's spent for our disabilities, the use of outside counsel. And we're also taking advantage of any other expenses that really are non-administrative in nature. So the office expense for rent for the legal and the investment office, that should fall under the non-administrative limit. So we're putting some expenses there. On page 17, down at the very bottom, the new budget is $3,402,000 compared to $3,481,000 last year. It's about an $80,000 decrease. Most of that decrease is attributed to the staggering recruitment of the investment officer positions, which is about $194,000 in salaries and benefits, just attributed to that. That's reduction of the budget.
So when you say staggering, do you mean staggering as in the amount, or staggering is in terms of temporary time?
In terms of the start
late
date.
Night.
That's funny. I said staggering. I'm saying, what's not that meant?
I was looking to see if Tim was rustling over here, but I didn't see
it. Not
the investment officers themselves are staggering. It's the heart date.
No, there yet.
I apologize for that. The
he's been called
the
a lot of things.
Are staggered, not the amount.
Right, we got that. Okay.
It's like for these. It's like the Olympic race where they start at different angles.
Yes.
Okay. Good point, Scott.
That's the best one.
And stumble over the finish line.
Yeah, that's right. And they all finish at the same time. That's what we're trying to. Okay, that's our staggered accounting terminology there. We're going to do that. That's a decrease, but we also have some increases we mentioned earlier. There's some anticipated legal, investment legal for the direct private equity reviews that Tim's going to need. And also in the office administrative expenses, we brought over about $58,000 for office rent that's non-admin. That's where the offsets are.
So quick question, Henry. If you've already answered this, I'm going to apologize in advance. But in each one of the categories of expense, is there already built in a contingency? That is there some, you know, a lot of budgets, you'll go through this very detailed line item, and then the bottom says contingency is like 20%, right? Across the board, you have this huge,
right,
huge allowance for variance and so on. In each of these categories, is there already built in contingency or no?
We do not purposely follow contingency. However, when I sit down with each and every manager, we take a look at the assumptions, at the estimates, and I try to get an understanding of what they're estimating for. We'd rather not just build a line item that says, here's the budget, and we tack on another 20% or another 10% or whatever that is. But we actually sit down and look at the estimates and see what they're forecasting for and see if those are reasonable or make sense. We take a look at the actuals, where we spent, to see if there's reason to support those. We take a look at what you're forecasting, anticipated increases. You know, we examine all the vendors and see where the expenses are. That's the true budgeting process. There are some where it's really hard. I would imagine, for example, the OPEB one. Gail brought up the OPEB. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to sit down with the county and try and make sense of, you know, what the allocation was going to be on some of that. And it was very difficult. So in that case, I did have about a 4% contingency, and that shows up there, an increase in the budget. I know that we're in the process of looking at an actuary review, so all of that is going to change, but that's the only case where we do that. But as a rule of thumb, we try to avoid that. You know, we're just sticking another 20% because it'll show up in the padding, as Jerry mentioned. You know, I'd rather, we use the term business plan in the industry, a business expense plan. We like to follow it, and where we miss it, we'd like to identify the variance of what caused it. And we bring that to the table. Managers are going to get more frequent reviews of whether expenses are to see if they make sense. And they're going to compare it to the assumptions that they did. Well, you assumed this. You estimated that. How did we do?
Okay. That's helpful. Thank you.
So speaking to your point earlier, Gail, on the OPEB, retiree fund, or 115 fund, do you see that starting next fiscal year? Would that be part of this budget that you'll come back to amend?
So what I see is potentially happening is at the January 10th meeting, we'll come back to the board, we'll have the Milliman report, we'll have a discussion on some different options, you know, whether we want to keep paying as we go or a pre-fund of, you know, there's a couple of different ways of doing that. And then at that point, we could do a budget adjustment since, you know, if there's additional funds needed there that aren't in the current budget, we could do a budget adjustment at that time. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. And speaking to Scott's point on contingency, and the budget doesn't specify, but do we have a business continuity plan, which I know we do, but mm-hmm. where is that expensed in the budget?
So we do have disaster recovery expenses, and that's the $112,500 that's indicated. Okay. So, you know, our hot site expense and some of these other expenses are in here in the non-admin budget.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, on the bottom of page 17, inside this budget, included in the various asterisk items, the double asterisks, you've got $112,000 in there. But also on page, the very last page, page 18, inside our capital budget, these are the asset costs that are eligible to be amortized over 5 years, depreciated. Over 5 years, so that includes about half of that is also disaster recovery expenses too. And I think Kirk McCrum-Son's going to discuss more on cybersecurity. No, maybe not. Okay, but okay. We try and
Speaking
cover a
Gail.
Lot of things and then pack it in the budget. I know it's really exciting, but that's all.
There's in the back of my mind, I don't know where. Heard this, but we have the arrangement with San Diego, right?
No.
But it's changing, right?
Roseville.
It moved up. Okay, so that takes into account the whatever the new expenses might
Absolutely.
Be for the new hot site.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was saying I knew that was changing, but okay.
So all those expenses are there. So that concludes all the exciting pieces of the budget. Be more than happy to entertain any questions. I know this is going to be more of an active process throughout the year, so hopefully it's not just an annual, semi-annual, but it's a more frequent review.
Anything else for Henry?
No. I make a motion that we adopt the 2018 proposed budget.
Second. Motion and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion passes.
Thank you, Henry.
Thank you, Henry.
Thank you.